Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guest to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Hey, welcome back to Mission Accepted, and I am uber excited. There is a new word we've all been hearing lately. I'm uber excited for this episode in particular, because this is the first episode that we are going to be doing for the Gen Z Is Us weekly show on the Mission Accepted podcast. And like, if you are a return listener and viewer, thank you so much. We know that you've been spreading the word and sending out the shows, and we're so grateful. And of course, if any of you want to get on the show, you know where we are. Just give us a call. This is the first one where we are going to be talking about that Gen Z generation, because look at entrepreneurship is starting younger and younger and younger and younger. Now, I know some of you, and maybe me and Gaby can remember some lemonade stands, you know, garage sailing. That was kind of, you know, in a different generation. If you're a late millennial or a boomer, you would think that's kind of the entrepreneurship. I think Gary Vee had something like that go on, right, when he was younger. definitely trading cards and baseball cards. And so the whole world of entrepreneurship has definitely changed to the point where, you know, for some of us, it's kind of unrecognizable. Now, our guests today are very fortunate because they have parents that are entrepreneurs. And honestly, we're probably more fortunate than they are, so we can kind of keep up. But I want to introduce Ocean Baker, and he's my co-host today. And I want to introduce Gaby, who also is a powerful entrepreneur. She's going to talk a little bit about her business, and maybe that's where Yari kind of got his idea, but we'll find out more. So, hey, everybody, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi, and welcome.
Awesome. Awesome. So Gaby, why don't I pass it over to you a little bit? And you are an entrepreneur. Maybe share a little bit about what you do and how you came to fall into this wonderful land of making your own way. And then tell me what it was like a little bit. Share with us a little bit what it was like to have a son decide to do his own business.
Oh, of course, that's amazing because it means that he's working hard. It means that it means that, you know, he's learning a lot, except math and science and stuff, and that he's making a lot of money while he's still super young. And I really like it. And we've been trying to teach him as best we can. We moved to America. Maybe I should start there.
Yeah.
And the amount of opportunities you have here, I think everybody should take advantage of that because it's really special. And compared to Europe, we have plenty of opportunities here in America. So that is one thing that we thought, you know, we can work for a boss or we can decide to work 10 times harder and start our own business and make 10 times more money, right? And we decided to do that. And when I first moved here, I wasn't allowed to work for the first, I would say, 4 or 5 months. And, you know, I'm not the type of person to sit still. So I thought, you know, we're going to work out this idea. What are we going to do? And I thought, you know, I can always keep that as a side business because, hey, this is America. I have to start working for a boss, maybe. And once I was allowed to work, we launched our business. We started with a kids clothing business called Romari for Kids. That went so well that that became my full-time business. So we started from newborn outfits, or actually we started with just the bodysuits, just the onesies and t-shirts. And then we hired seamstresses to make the bottoms for us. And they are doing an amazing job. I couldn't do it without them. So that was great. And then we started, you know, to expand a little bit to bigger kids and matching outfits with parents. And recently, quite recently, we started branching out to doing company apparel and promotional merchandise for companies. And for example, you know, a run for the homeless, stuff like that, you know. So, yeah, we've been pretty pretty busy with that.
Wow. So, Yari, so you've been living in this house that's got this great entrepreneurial feel to it. So tell me, and you may or may not know, it may just have come so natural to you. Like, what made you decide that you wanted to kind of start making some, you know, making money from home or having your own business?
So I think it started when you started selling pools. And it was during the pandemic when everything closed. So pool prices went up and she started selling pools. And I really wanted to do that as well. So I borrowed $50 from her to buy my first pool. And then over the course of maybe 2 months, I started making a lot of money with the pools. And like that, I got into reselling shoes and hyped sneakers or items in general. And I started using bots so I could basically beat regular people to purchasing the shoes and limited items. And that's why prices went up. So basically I started selling from that. And then one of my friends got into the NFT business and he told me that I should try it. And the very first week that I started with around $600. I made $3,000 in 1 week.
Right on. So you had this great kind of organic experience, right? Where you saw your mom making some money or your family making some money. And then I guess they gave you your first, you know, loan.
Yeah.
I got to wonder, did you ever pay the loan back?
I can't remember. I probably did.
You probably did. So, hey, I think I want to talk to Ocean right now because honestly, you guys are going to, I think after the interview, you guys got some conversation to have. So, Ocean, I mean, you guys are going to sound very similar. This is pretty cool. So what was it for you, Ocean, that made you decide to go into business for yourself?
I don't know. I was always into streetwear and all that stuff. So I was always in that culture and I really wanted to do something of my own. Maybe get to like that height level where people buy bots for me. So just kind of, I don't know, going with it right now, I guess.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was pretty interesting and I'm sure Gaby, you probably relate. So, or maybe you don't share with me, but, you know, I've been a traditional business owner. You know, I've had 6 different companies, but they've all been in that same health, wealth, and wellness sector. And then all of a sudden, you know, my son's like, hey, I want to go to a sneaker con. And I'm like, okay, what's a sneaker con? He's like, oh, it's like where you buy and you flip runners and sometimes you trade them. And I was like, oh, kind of, okay. That's kind of like a, you know, garage sale for sneakers or whatever. Right. And he's like, oh yeah, there's conventions in Japan. And I was like, New York. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I start hitting Google and I'm like, what the heck is my son into? And I'm like, oh man, there's all these people that are flipping. It sounds like you, Yari too, right? It's flipping shoes and flipping stuff. And I was like, okay, that's cool. And then we went down to our first sneaker con in Vancouver. And so we were in a lineup of about 300 people and there was 12-year-olds to 70-year-olds with runners looking to flip and trade. I was like, this is kind of interesting. So we walk up to the front and they're taking like, it was like $30 each and they were taking money. I was like, okay, that's where the money is. These guys are cranking. We probably waited 20 minutes. They got 300 people in at $30 in 20 minutes. I'm like, okay, there's some serious money. And I walked in and I'm expecting it to be a trade show like I would normally go to with booths and nice, you know, tables and all set up. And it is literally pull up picnic tables and people with used runners. And I was looking there and I'm like, apparently this is a $1 billion industry. So they're onto something. It was a real learning curve for me. It was a real learning curve for me. What was it like for you, Gaby, when Yari started going to NFTs and things that you probably weren't raised with?
You know, that was a whole different world to me. He tried to explain it to me. I still don't understand everything about it. He told me, Mom, you should get into it as well. I just, you know, he would have to sit with me and explain to me all the details because it's not only buying and selling NFTs, it's also joining Discord groups and you know, staying in touch with people, knowing what the hype is about, knowing when it's not going to be successful. You know, you have to sense all of that. And when you are as much into it as Yari is, he kind of knows, like, okay, these are the risks. This is what I should do. I want to be on the whitelist for this one. They're going to mint it then and then. And, you know, honestly, I am too busy with my regular stuff. And in the meantime, setting up a new business with my best friend here. You know, so I just didn't have a chance to get into that as much. But it's for sure, I think, a huge thing. It's a whole different world, and it is the future. And there's a lot of people that are against it. There's a lot of people that, you know, think it's the greatest thing in the world. You know, when I hear about this whole digital world and hear that you can buy a real estate, but it's just virtual for $40,000, I'm like, I can't wrap my head around it. It's just so different, you know, but that is what our kids grow up with.
Yeah, absolutely. And I try to think of it this way. It's like, I know when I, you know, became an entrepreneur, so I was the first entrepreneur in my family. Everybody else kind of went really to school and then got a job, you know, and worked for another company. And so I was kind of a little bit of a black sheep. They didn't really quite know what to do with me, but they probably didn't go up against me on it either. They didn't say it was a bad idea, but they didn't go, hey, let me buy your first products. It was like, it was a little wait and see. So Ocean, I'm going to ask you, and then Yari, I'm going to ask you. So Ocean, I mean, you know, you're my son, so I know that we all lived in the same household. And you know, your dad as well has also been an entrepreneur and then worked for companies. So you kind of had both. So what was it like kind of living in an entrepreneur house? What was kind of the best thing about it, and what was not, maybe?
I don't know. I thought it was kind of normal, I guess. Like, I don't know. I always thought so. I never thought something different of it. I don't know. I never had like a thought about, oh, this is weird or not weird, or I don't know. It's kind of always been there. So I never really had thought about it like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true, right? What about you, Yari?
I don't really know if there's any bad sides to it. I mean, there's good sides to it because obviously you're always available. You're not out at a 9-to-5 working, going away in the morning and then coming back late at night. Yeah, it's kind of always been there for me, in America at least. And yeah, back when we were in the Netherlands, obviously you were working every day and I didn't really think much of it because I was still little. So it's kind of just always been there for me as well.
Right. I got to ask you guys, because you've been raised in entrepreneurial homes, which is kind of cool. It's really interesting. I got to tell you, when you're talking to, and I do talk often to either, someone who's, you know, Gen Z, someone who's younger, who's becoming an entrepreneur and their parent never was. And there's kind of this, you know, kind of as much of a bit of a lack of understanding to there, because, you know, you've got this person going, hey, you get holiday pay and you get sick pay and, you know, you get, all sorts of benefits. So now we've got this generation that's kind of in their own way, and it's exploding. You know, it's really exploding in terms of people don't traditionally, we used to have to get a website and business cards and letterhead, and you guys are just kind of going out there, and it's kind of a new world. One of the reasons why I wanted to do this podcast where there was multi-generations is because what I see happening is that there's an explosion of entrepreneurs kind of on the top end, people that got sick of being 9-to-5 or, you know, like us that just saw the opportunity. And so they're venturing off, and now there's this whole new generation coming up. And there's, you know, you hear a lot of people, should I dare say, maybe our age, saying, oh man, I can't keep up with these kids, you know, the technology, the Instagram, the TikTok, the, you know, the Snapchat, all these different ways that they model and market their business. You know, they've got such an edge on us. And then you've got people that have been in business a long time like us that really know the other aspect to business that you guys are kind of fortunate, you know, like the business plan or the marketing plan or the structure or the
supply. Well, you know, we are trying currently, actually. My husband and I are a great team. I don't know anything about finances and numbers, and he does all of that. So we're currently teaching Yari, because, you know, with money comes like, how are you saving it? How are you spending it? How are you, you know, are you going to reinvest? Of course, we encourage him to do that. but we also want him to be wise with his money. And I swear, and I recommend to everybody starting a business to read the book Profit First from Mike Mikhailovich. I don't really know how to pronounce it, but it's the greatest book ever. And we swear by that, you know, by the way he explains how to do it. And it's a great ideology of how to spend your money, reinvest your money, but also make sure that you have money in your pocket rather than just on paper. So it's basically, he explains like how you put a percentage of the money that you make into a tax account so that you are always sure you can pay your taxes in tax season. To put money in your OPEX to reinvest, you know, your operational expenses, but also put money in a profit account to make sure that you don't reinvest. And that's, I think, a very American thing to just put all your money back in your operational expenses account and reinvest and just spend it all on the business. But it's also important for him to know that he works super hard, so he is allowed and able to spend some of that money and to enjoy, you know, what he's doing more by having money in his pocket. And now he's going to Europe for 3 weeks, you know, because he works so hard. And I think that is very important too. And I, you know, for me, for our family, that is the best book I have written. Oh, sorry. I wish I would have written it. It would be so good. But I read, and you know, we just go by that book. Everything we do through that book. So yeah, it's amazing. Yeah.
That's great. So we're gonna have to get that book. There's been some great there's great books. I mean, I was raised on The Wealthy Barber, the what's the other one? You know, Kiyosaki with the Four Quadrants, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. But that sounds like a great, great, great book.
Yeah, for sure. So my business honestly wouldn't be the same without that book.
Oh, wow. Because
especially since I don't know much about finances, I would do the same thing. You know, what we make, we just keep it in one account and we spend it on the business again. So, but what is left for me? You know, of course, I forgot to say that we also have an account for the bills, because those have to be paid as well.
They have to be paid as well.
Yeah. So, and you know, when it comes to, you know, us knowing the other side of the other aspect of the business and him, like the things that we don't know anything about, I think it just depends what your passion is. So his passion is something that we didn't grow up with, but we can teach them our side and our aspect of the business so that it becomes a whole and he becomes more successful in the future than we are. And, you know, that is always what you want for your children, right?
Absolutely. I mean, we always want it to be just a little bit easier. And I think the beauty of having an entrepreneurial family or entrepreneurial support, because not everybody is as lucky. I know you guys probably, well, you're at the age, you're through the teenagers, you're probably thinking that you're lucky to have entrepreneurial parents. But there, as long as you have that entrepreneurial support, and I think it's important to share with each generation, you know, just like, you guys might have to learn some things about finance. Thanks for that recommendation of the book. There's also things like, you know, speaking coaches or marketing. There's different things that I think are really good to hire out and to have experts. I'm a true believer in bringing in an expert, you know.
Have you ever read the book from Malcolm Gladwell?
It's called The Tipping Point.
Yeah, absolutely. And he explains very well what three aspects you need in a business, right? Mm-hmm. The connector, mm-hmm. the salesman, and the maven or maverick, you know? Yeah. And it's just so important because you don't know everything about everything. You know, mm-hmm. I am not the best at marketing, but you are, you know? So, mm-hmm. so in the meantime, when I hire someone for my marketing, I can focus on other things and make more money that way. And it's a great example as well that people say, for example, hey, if you don't have time to clean the house, for example, are you going to take four hours off of work, your own work, to clean the house? Or are you going to hire somebody to do that so that you can generate more money in the meantime? And I think that's a great example.
That's yeah. And it's really, and it's important. So I want to ask Ocean and Yari, maybe we'll start with you, Yari. So, you know, we've obviously been inspired by books. We've been inspired by other people, you know, networking and supporting. Yari, was there a book or was there anything or anyone that you listen to now? It doesn't have to be us. Is there someone that you tap into online or that you kind of follow that you really like what they're doing in their business?
Yeah. So you you talked about Gary Vee, right? So I really like Gary Vee. He's all into the NFT stuff as well. So yep. I follow him. I got to talk to him once, not in person, but on Discord. I messaged him and he responded back. So that was pretty cool. So yeah, I think I got all my inspiration from him.
Right. And Ocean? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that some inspiration from you. Thanks.
All right.
He is the man.
Proud mama. And Ocean, how about you? Where have you kind of, you know, been listening or following or what inspires you?
I like Gary Vee. He's cool too. I don't really know what kind of stuff inspires me. Like, I just want to have a passion, so I want to go for it no matter what. But maybe a little bit of Monty too. But I don't know. Just, I don't have an answer for that because I can't think of anybody besides the top of my head.
Yeah, no worries. I know that when you were looking at changing the name of your company, you were sharing that you were listening to somebody that was talking about marketing online, and it just helped prompt you. I think it's cool. Like, that's the kind of stuff when we, like, I'm reading a book right now. I just finished reading a 400-page book on marketing, and, I didn't do it in one day. But, you know, I'm a circler and dog tagger, and I think the idea is to just stay in learning, always just stay in a learning mode. So if I could wave a magic wand, you guys, I want to ask Yari and Ocean again, if I could wave a magic wand and you could list a couple of things that you hope that your business gives you. I mean, it could be, you know, for me, it would be like a 1962 Porsche. I love them. It could be something like that, or it could be, you know, I want to live in Australia half the year so I could surf, or if you could think of some of the things that kind of keep you inspired, Yari, I'll start with you. What's a couple things that you hope your business brings you over the course of your lifetime or the time that you're doing the business?
Okay, so one of the things is I really want to have my own NFT project. I think that would be really cool to have so many people join you in your own project and obviously earn a lot of money from it. And then just change the whole NFT space. That would be really cool. But you gotta come up with like special things and unique things that other projects don't have. So it's gonna be difficult, but hopefully I can do it one day.
Cool. And what about you, Ocean?
Hopefully I wanna get a storefront. I think that'd be pretty cool. Maybe downtown LA or somewhere like that. I mean, you kinda said one though, like stay in Australia for a while, surf all day, go, you know, across the world. See different places. That's kind of what I hope.
Yeah. I knew that one. I mean, you don't call your kid for nothing.
Thank God he likes water.
last thing I want to ask you guys, and then I'm going to hand it over to you, Gaby, to kind of maybe finish up and share a little bit. There's a lot of, you know, should I dare to say, I'm not going to say kids out there. I'm going to say younger entrepreneurs. You know, younger inspired that, you know, are and will continue to look up to people like you guys that have decided to kind of break into your own thing. And, maybe they have different battles where they've got parents that are really wanting them to do a certain career, or they're in families where they don't understand entrepreneurship and they're wondering why their kids, you know, I mean, Yari, you're probably allowed to stay up till 1 or 2 in the morning, you know, cranking off like this because it's, you know, your sector. But there's a lot of people out there that can't or don't have that, and they want to be it on the inside. Again, Yari, I'll start with you. What would you say to them? If you could give them a message, what would it be?
I would say, well, it obviously depends on what kind of career the parents want them to have. But if it's like, let's say 9 to 5, I would say just try out something about reselling or anything, because my friends, all of their parents want them to work a normal job. So I already encouraged some of them to just try it out. I'll help them with it and then see what they think of it, because at first, I would think the same thing that, yeah, you're not going to make a lot of money from it. Or even if you do, there's a small chance you're going to make a lot of money from it. So if you would just try it out and you can see how much money you're going to make from it, then you could probably convince your parents to let you like keep on reselling, for example, or start your own business.
Right on, right on. And how about you, Ocean? What would you say to other people out there that's, you know, kind of in your guys' age that wants to try what you guys are doing?
I'd say go for it. If it's really a passion, I say try to make it no matter what. But yeah, if you know, if you could try a 9-to-5 if you really want to, like, it's up to you. Like, it's your decision in your life, so you do what you want.
Do you want to follow your bliss? It was cool. I was interviewing this really interesting woman last night, and she's running Art Vancouver, and you know, she introduced me to a term that I hadn't heard before. And she said that, so she was working corporate, but she was working on the side of her desk. And I was like, I love it. So she was in this corporate, you know, job because that's what was feeding her. You know, she landed here from Ireland and she needed to make money and have a job. And so she got a corporate job, but she was always working off the side of her desk. And then the time came where that working off the side of her desk just got too big. And one day she just quit this very cushy job with all of the everything. And she's out there kind of living her bliss. And now her side, you know, off the side of her desk is now the full-time thing that she does. So there's all different ways to go. But, you know, I want to give you guys some cahoots because even though you're raised in super cool homes with super cool moms, just going to say it. Because I can't, and you guys can't say anything till after the show. But you guys still had to have that decision inside. You know, you guys are, you know, the age that you are. We can't make you do anything. You know, I'm sure we couldn't make you clean your room. I'm sure we can't make you be entrepreneurs. So at some point, you guys had to make that decision. You had to brave up. You had to say, this is what I'm going to do. You had to go online. You had to learn about NFTs. You know, Ocean, you know, was like, I want to learn how to make runners. I mean, for 3 years, he was on me until we finally got on a plane and went down to LA. And he was in a group of people a lot older than him learning how to make his first Nikes sewing. I mean, you know, who would have thought those kind of things? So you guys have the world ahead of you. You can do so many cool things. So thanks for kind of being iconic and also being inspiring for us. I mean, I know I'll talk about myself, but I'm sure Gaby, we're super proud of you, and you're inspiring people around you, even though you don't know it. That's the cool thing, even though you don't know it. So Gaby, I'm going to let you kind of finish up a little bit and maybe talk about what it's like and tell us more about your business a bit. And then we'll kind of wrap up our first Gen Z is Us show on the Mission Accepted podcast.
Well, I'm really thrilled that we went from baby clothing to promotional apparel and merchandise. That was a really cool step that we love to make. So we're doing more and more for businesses and charity organizations, like all that kind of stuff. But I would actually like to finish up just telling people to just do it. You know, for me, starting my own business in a complete different country on the other side of the world was a big risk. But big risks come with big rewards. And if you have a passion, you know, you shouldn't be afraid to fall, and you have to be prepared to work super hard. But if you have that passion and you work hard enough, then you will make it, you know? And I think it's such a waste of time to take little steps with little rewards while you can just boom, you know?
Those are great words to end on. So listeners and viewers, thank you so much for dialing in to Mission Accepted. We have, as you can see, the most incredible guests. Please share this podcast with anyone that you know that wants to hear some inspiration about being an entrepreneur or an altrepreneur. These guys are future altrepreneurs for sure. People in creatives and people in media. We will see you again here next week, absolutely. And if you want to get on the show, please reach out. So thank you, Gaby and Ocean and Yari, for joining this week. And Ocean, I know you didn't co-host as much, but that'll start to come as time goes on. And yeah, I'll be able to sit here and listen to you ask all the questions. All right, you guys. So let's stay on, but we're going to end the show. And thanks again for watching and listening.